Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm here with a guest in person, and we're sitting in my backyard, and this is a pleasure to have him here. He's my good buddy, coming all the way from Austin, Texas, John Heft.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, dude.
In the podcast realm.
This is a rare treat. I never have ever recorded a podcast where we are sitting right now. This is
really?
The first. Yeah.
Wow. Like out here?
Out here.
Like outside? We're sitting outside. It's lovely. It's a lovely night out.
We're sitting outside. It's nighttime. It's Tuesday night. We're at my place here in Highland Park. I've had one other in-person guest since, May of last year.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because when COVID started, I was recording at a studio.
Yeah.
And then there was an outbreak at the studio, so the studio closed.
Oh.
Yes.
Damn.
Dude, which is crazy.
So much up.
Dude, that was the best production value I ever had for this podcast.
And there's this new one in Austin that's like crazy. This like Gary Faust guy.
Oh, yeah. I know Gary.
Is doing all these huge podcasts, and they're like really well put together professional podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I keep seeing them pop up because just all of my friends are just slowly getting like podcasts, but they're like, there's like a lot of money put into them.
Yeah.
And so it's hype, but I'm just like, how do I get in on this?
Hey,
I need to meet Gary.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts though.
You this is the root shit. Of the art right here.
Yes.
It all starts in the backyard of a house in Highland Park, California.
This is truly like the closest I've ever been to my podcasting roots. This is like, dude, when I the first time have you ever tried doing a podcast before, like hosting one?
No, I've been on a bunch of them. I was like kind of a co-host of my friend's podcast for a while.
Okay.
But that situation was, I didn't have like any say because I came in like late and then I got kicked off.
I've hosted three other podcasts besides this. I hosted a podcast when I was like a child, when podcasting first existed, when I was in high school, when it first became a thing. Oh yeah, dude.
What was the theme?
I would play songs that I liked, and then I think I was like news and music. It was basically NPR.
Just J-Lite's NPR.
Just J-Lite's version of NPR. And I got so mad because my buddy, by the way, if he listens to this, my buddy Parker, which he might, he will, keep in mind, Parker, this is all water under the bridge. My buddy decided to do a podcast after that, and it was immediately a better idea. It was called The Vent, and he had like, the premise of it was you could call in and you could just complain about whatever you wanted. And it was, you know, this is like for just our high school friends that were the only people listening to this. But there was like a guy who we went to school with who was like, I love this idea, man, and made him a whole fucking cool intro theme music.
Really?
And it sounded like some like drive time radio shit. And I was like, man, nobody wants to, of course, because of course nobody wants to listen to NPR.
Yeah.
16-year-old Jay, what are you thinking?
16-year-old NPR. Your beliefs on the world are still just revolving around high school and stuff.
Yeah, man. I had probably a lot of World of Warcraft related podcasting going on at that time.
In the news today, there's a new expansion pack coming out.
Yeah.
I think we should all be very excited about.
Today in news, I finally leveled up high enough to get a flying mount. Here with more, it's my guild leader. But now we're here. Back to the barest bones, back to even truly the barest bones of the premise of this podcast. Because for the first time in a very long time, John, I also have not had a chance to watch the movie that you're talking to me about. Yeah, because I was telling John, I can't say too much on air, but I do have a writing job right now for something. And it has prevented me from being able to watch the movie that John came to hate, which I was so excited to watch. And I can't wait for you to tell me about it. It's Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, it is. And just me explaining it to you, from me explaining it to my friends who haven't seen it over the past few days, knowing I was going to talk about it, like it's such a trip to like go down this path.
So, okay. All I know about Godzilla versus Kong is that it came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It was one of the early HBO Max / Warner Brothers theater titles. I know it's in the MonsterVerse. It's got Godzilla, Godzilla King of All Monsters, and then Kong Skull Island. Out of those three, I've only seen Kong Skull Island.
Same, actually.
And I liked Kong Skull Island. I thought it was fun. But that's it. That's all I know. Yeah. All I know is that's Godzilla and Kong fight.
All I knew
fight.
Going into it, and you realize super fast that you're like, oh, I need to know more about this movie.
Okay.
Like, yeah, like literally right away, it was spitting information at me that I was like, that I feel like there's a like something,
so
a prelude to this.
What happens?
Okay, well, so to kick it off, you know, obviously this is a world where people are just like, Godzilla is real.
Of course.
You know, and they're just like, okay with that. And it opens up on basically Godzilla attacking people. And they're like, why is Godzilla attacking people? This doesn't, you know, Godzilla doesn't do this often.
Okay.
This doesn't make sense. And the FBI director is that guy that's in Friday Night Lights and in every other football movie that's ever been made.
Kyle Chandler.
Coach. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Kyle Chandler. And his daughter is Millie Bobby Brown. And she's with the chubby kid that, and from that Taika Waititi movie, Into the Wildlands or whatever that one is.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Hunt for the Wilder People. Yeah, that's the one. I haven't seen that one either.
It's but.
Guy, you know, that chubby kid that's on the poster?
Yeah.
He's in it too. And so basically, they're like, oh, there's this big conspiracy podcast, right? Like, there's an Alex Jones to this universe.
There's
already
an Alex
like,
Jones.
There's so much. Yeah, there is. And he's.
This is a movie that one of the pivotal plot elements is podcasting.
Yes, that is actually true.
Oh, boy.
That is actually a
oh,
thing.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay.
So, basically, the Alex Jones of the universe is just played by Paperboy from Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. And Brian so, Tiger Paperboy and right away is just like. This off-kilter character, and Millie Bobby Brown is obsessed with his podcast. And they're listening to his podcast, and he's talking about this big corporation. He's like, there's other things going on, right?
Okay.
And so then they're like, we need to find this guy. We need to talk to him. And so they steal a car, Millie Bobby Brown and the Taika Waititi kid.
Uh-huh.
They just commit a crime right away.
Right away.
Dad's the director of the FBI okay. or some shit like that. And they just go to find this man. Right?
Sure.
Hard cut. Now all of a sudden we're in what looks like Skull Island.
Okay.
Right? And immediately it's just Kong and there's this little girl handing him a teddy bear and she's like deaf, you know? So she's like signing to him.
Okay.
And he's signing back. Kong learned, they did the gorilla learning
they
the sign
the
Coco
thing.
But with, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But
okay. I buy that. See, this yeah. I buy like half of this so far.
Right off the bat, like the premise alone, like this is all of this is the first 10 minutes of the movie. Like everything I've said is so little to what this movie is.
I would have expected this to be like 30 minutes at least.
It's like, it's not. It is not that long. It's a horrible movie. It's a horrible movie. So then you think it's that, and then Kong, you know, picks up a tree and like sharpens that shit out.
Okay.
Throws it at the sky, and it hits it, and boom. We're not on Skull Island. We're in a government containment facility in the middle of the ocean, and of course it's storming outside, because it always has to.
Of course it always has to be storming outside in a dangerous monster movie.
Of course it does. And they're like, oh, we got to move Kong. That's their whole problem. And so they're like, we got to move Kong, but if we move Kong, Godzilla, who lives in the ocean, which that's like a horrible thing to have to just come to terms with, right? Like, I feel like that would really fuck up.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the cruise industry's done.
Yeah.
As soon as you find out about Godzilla, nobody's traveling by boat anywhere.
Why would you?
The worldwide shipping industry is done.
You have planes. Like, why would you do that? But they're, and that's the thing too. This is what fucking pissed me off so much about this part. So like, we have to move Kong. But then they put him on a boat and they're like, all right, we're going to go real slow so we don't upset Godzilla with it or wake him up with any loud noises or attract him in any way. And they go. And then, of course, it's like at one point it's pouring rain and Kong is all sad and alone and scared.
Uh-huh. Nobody's there
the
to
front.
Teach him sign language.
Yeah. So the kid who's on the boat for some reason, because this lady brought her like deaf daughter
okay.
onto this extremely dangerous mission.
Uh-huh.
Walks out there, and then the mom didn't know that they were signing to each other, sees that it's happening, they're like, oh my god, scientific breakthrough, and then boom, Godzilla's here.
Right? Oh boy.
So Godzilla comes in, fucks up about every other boat except for the one Kong's on, because Kong like has this, honestly, it's pretty badass fight under the water. Pretty badass fight. And then they just airlift Kong the rest of the way.
They could have just done that the whole time.
That's the problem with me with this movie right off the bat, is that it's like we're like 15, 20 minutes in now, and all they had to do was just airlift them the whole way. But now, like, countless people have perished into the oceans.
So it sounds to me so far like there's a lot of, in a movie that's already fantastical, what you can't do is have logical leaps.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them going on. Why? Why do people write movies like this? This happens all the time. It's not that fucking hard to write a movie that, even if it has like big monsters that live in the ocean, you can have stuff that makes some sense. Like, you can still, if we know that we can have a plane that's powerful enough to, or a helicopter or whatever, to airlift Kong out of the water from a fighting Godzilla, then we should be allowed to do that the entire time.
Yeah, because then it's just like, it was such an easy jump. And I remember literally sitting there. I remember I was sitting with my friend. I don't know if you've met him. He's a lovely Austin comedian named Zach Busby. And I saw the movie with Zach, and we're sitting in the movie theater. And the minute that they're on the boats, I leaned over to Zach and I was like, why are they not flying? Like, the whole problem with being on the boat is they're afraid Godzilla's going to attack. And it's like, there's a super easy solution to that problem.
Okay.
So now we're like,
that's reasonable.
We're getting through the setup.
Sure.
All right. We're getting through there. So now, cutting back to Millie Bobby Brown and the Taika Waititi kid. I don't know his name. We're just going
to
call him.
I'm trying to find. Yeah, let's just call him the Taika Waititi kid, because I can't find out who it is.
Taika Waititi kid. He's funny. He's cool. Really liked his character. Millie Bobby Brown's character was just kind of, I don't know. I didn't fuck with her as hard. I didn't like her as much as the Taika Waititi kid. But so they steal this van and they go and they just find this like podcast dude who's spilling. He works for this corporation that he's spilling all the secrets out of.
Okay.
But then just like, I don't know if it's like at the end of his podcast, he's just like, by the way, my address is this, because they just showed the fuck up there and found him like it was nothing. Which is like,
probably got doxxed. Somebody deep on the dark web. They spent some Bitcoin to go find this guy's address.
Yeah. You would think that you would keep that in any way like locked down more.
Well, you know what probably happened was at some point he accidentally must have slipped and told them where his work was on the podcast and just forgot to edit it out, because
he's a busy guy.
He's got to work for a big company that's doing something with monsters. I still don't totally understand what they're doing.
He's got to think about conspiracy theories.
And he has to find new supplements to sell.
Yeah, you're right. He does. Yeah, actually, that was one of the weirdest things, that he kept breaking the fourth wall and just looking at us and being like, buy my bone structure supplement.
Exactly. Listen, you want to grow an exoskeleton like Mechagodzilla? Guess what? I can help you do that with my exoskeleto pills. Anyway, so Alex Jones, Black Alex Jones. God, if Black Alex Jones, I mean, Black Alex Jones has to exist in real life.
It's somewhere, but I just thought it was such a weird, like, little character to build up, that they're like, we're going to take basically probably the most hated person in the country to some degree.
Uh-huh.
And we're just going to make him black and then make you sympathize with him.
Right. Well, that's the craziest thing too, is like, it's a good idea for a character, but it's a horrible, it sounds like it's a bad execution.
Yeah. Well, it was just weird. Like, he didn't match with like the style of his podcast, because it opens up and he's like, we're listening. Millie Bobby Brown is listening to his podcast. And
okay.
He's like, I'm looking through the papers and I'm looking through this, and they've got all this extra stuff they're not talking about. They got all this stuff in there, and we got to figure it out. And so
that sounds like if Alex Jones worked for the government.
Yeah.
Like, if Alex Jones was secretly working as an FBI agent, like if he was an op deep undercover. I mean, that's a great plot twist, by the way. I would love if Alex Jones turned out to be insane. Like how the guy from the Proud Boys was actually an FBI guy the whole time.
Really? Was that a thing?
Oh, yeah, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. That would be, yeah, he was that guy, Enrique Terrio, he was like the head of the Proud Boys. He was on all like the news coverage of the Proud Boys. He was like their talking head guy. Same thing with, I think, the guys who like said that they're going to arrest on like a citizen's arrest of the governor of Michigan last year during the lockdown. Same thing, full of FBI agents undercover, and Proud Boys is the same way. So, I mean, Alex Jones, if he's deep undercover, like Brian Tyree Henry is in this movie. I mean, in real life, I would buy that. But that seems like a much more interesting movie than what we're getting, which is...
No, this movie is... It's nowhere near as interesting as if Alex Jones one day in the middle of his podcast just stopped and just like ripped off his head and it was Matt Damon. It's just been Jason Bourne this whole time.
Oh, dude. You know? What if the reason that Alex Jones knows why 9/11 was an inside job is because he was the person...
He was the inside guy.
He was the inside guy.
He set it up. So he's telling everybody that it's guilt. That's where all the anger and the rage comes from, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever he's just like... That's why he says stuff where he's like, you know, my superpower is honesty. Yeah. I will eat my neighbors. I will eat them.
I will eat my neighbors.
That was the craziest shit he said during the pandemic. Honest to God. I remember when that clip came out where he's like, yeah, my superpower is honesty. And I'll be honest with you. I will eat my neighbors. It's like, wow. You couldn't start a garden, man? Like, you don't have any other alternatives. It's just your first thought was like, I'm going to eat them.
Okay.
They look real tasty.
Oh, God. Oh, Alex Jones. Okay. So
back to the film.
They find Black Alex Jones.
They find Black Alex Jones. No, that doesn't work. I was trying something there.
Blalex Jones.
That works. That one, we can do that. Blalex Jones. And Taika Waititi kid, you know, TWK, he's not down for it at all. He's just there because I think he has a crush on Millie Bobby Brown's character. He's kind of a cuck. He's kind of a little cuck boy.
Okay.
And Millie Bobby Brown is totally just doming him the whole time. But,
oh, yeah. I mean, if she's listening to Blalex Jones, yeah, she's probably taking the right supplements in order to have the alpha mindset.
Oh, absolutely. She's beefed up on that testosterone mixture.
She's been taking those exoskeleton pills. Yeah. She's ready to go.
It's working. You could see it. It was growing out. But so they find him and then they knock on his door. They just walk up to this guy's apartment. They just knock on his door and he's like, who is it? Because that's how you answer the door.
Of course.
Whenever you're Blalex Jones and, you know, secret guy. And they're like, oh, we know who you are from your podcast and we want you to take us to this facility. And he's like, no. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And so
immediately folding.
He takes them to this like secret government facility and they go down and they get in this elevator and they go down on like level like -37. Like this is like a full skyscraper into the ground.
Okay.
And they get in this like tube thing and they're like, huh. This is weird. And then it shuts and it's like, next stop, Japan. And they're just now in this high speed underground train to Japan.
Okay.
So they end up in Japan and all the while Kong shit is happening. It's none of it's important at that moment. He kind of is just there. They're figuring out that he can like talk and they're like, whoa. And that's it.
He can talk?
Well, not like talk, you know, but like sign with his hands.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Sign with his hands. And so they take him. So they get all the way to Japan and then they walk out and they realize that they're like in some weird giant like arena type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of like Skull Island monsters start coming out and they're like running at them and they're freaking out. Then boom, out of nowhere, big reveal, foot stomps down. It's Mechagodzilla.
Okay.
Mechagodzilla is in the ball game at this point. And we know that. They get out of there somehow.
I like
Don't
Mechagodzilla.
Get caught. Yeah, Mechagodzilla is badass. Mechagodzilla, especially the end fight, I'm not going to lie. When we get to the end fight, like, that shit was nuts. Mechagodzilla fucked both of them up pretty hard. And the way they went, oh my, Jay, the way they beat Mechagodzilla, oh my God, it's awful. So, moving forward,
okay.
it's so bad.
So Mechagodzilla shows up.
And they're just like, oh my God, this is bad. And then they just like try to get out of there. And they're just like walking through these like Japanese testing facilities, a fully grown black man and two teenagers.
Uh-huh.
And nobody's stopping them.
Well, because he works for them though.
Yeah, but like,
but
who
still,
are the kids?
The kids, yeah, that's
and
a good point.
And also he's like a technician, you know, he like works on little things. Like he should not be in Japan.
Oh yeah, he definitely shouldn't be in Japan.
He hasn't earned Japan yet.
He shouldn't even know about this. He shouldn't know about this globalist conspiracy. But he does, and that's why he tells the truth.
This is what I'm telling you right now. They're keeping Mechagodzilla down there.
They're keeping Mechagodzilla down there.
We got to get to Mechagodzilla right now.
I got two words for you. Robot dinosaurs.
The police are teaming up with Mechagodzilla to make our lives harder.
I do not back the blue, because the blue backs Mechagodzilla.
And I can't stand by that.
I can't stand by that. Can't abide by that.
And so basically, yeah, they get caught eventually, they do, and then now they're in trouble. And all the while, this FBI guy is like, what's going on? And then It's been a little while. I was going to watch this movie today to refresh my memory, but then I started watching like new Rick and Morty. It completely got taken away. So, yeah. So I mean,
it's okay. I was going to watch this movie last night, and then I watched the Bachelorette finale instead. And then I was like,
hell yeah, how'd it go?
Oh, dude, my guy didn't come back. I was hoping that Michael was going to come back because he was my favorite because he had a dead wife, and him and Katie were going to work it out. And then he left because this kid missed him too much. And he was like,
oh man, that's a really noble reason.
It was a noble reason. He's too good. I was telling my girlfriend this. He's too good for television because he's never going to be a shitty guy on The Bachelor or Bachelor in Paradise. And he just leaves and he's never going to be part of any reality TV show ever again.
See, I love, like, I haven't watched The Bachelorette this year, but I regularly, when I was still living in San Marcos, I would watch it with my friends that I worked with, The Bachelor. And I always feel like the only person that's getting a good deal out of that show is The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, yes. Well, The Bachelor, so I watched The Bachelor and The Bachelorette in spotty amounts this past year. And it's very, very interesting to watch the difference in how everybody operates, because The Bachelor is basically a man living out his dream and realizing how much of a nightmare it is, because the dream is, for every man, is like to be able to date as many women as you want and like fuck as many women as you want. And then all of a sudden you do that as The Bachelor and you're like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Because
now you're responsible for like 22 women's feelings.
Right. And it's just not a good way. And you realize like all the mistakes you're making, but then one The Bachelor.
One woman's feelings. That's a handful.
Right. But then
it's tough. We're all bad at it.
Of course. But dude, the longer time I was single and I was like, I'm cool, I'm going to date a bunch of chicks at once. The sooner I got into that, I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Why do I even think that I have the capability emotionally to juggle more than just two people's feelings?
I'm so bad about it because it's like, I can't do it. I can't be talking to more than one person at one time because I don't like communicating at all. And so then I'll have to be Snapchatting somebody because Snapchat's all the rage these days.
Oh, is it?
I'm just stuck Snapchatting people. But then it gets to this point. It always gets to this point whenever I've lost interest, but I'm too much of a pussy to just be like, yo, I'm not into it, that we just end up for like days until... I always do this until she leaves me on red. I just decide to bore her until she doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
There you go. That's a strategy.
It just becomes sending just pictures like just of our face. Like no words or anything. It's just pictures just like send. And
just keep that streak
back and forth for like 3 or 4 days of that. And it gets to a point where I'm like, what the fuck? How long is this going to take? Like how interested are you?
See, that's the nice thing about The Bachelorette. The Bachelorette, she gets to live the dream of like, you could probably make it as a Bachelorette contestant, right? Yeah. But she would, you know, you're dating at that point. It's like a hyperbaric time chamber from fucking Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And she is going to find out real quick that you're like, oh, I can't date this guy. He's doesn't know how to talk to people. He's boring. He's going to bore me. He's instead of telling me he actually doesn't want to date me anymore, I'm just going to get rid of him and not give him a rose.
That'd be perfect.
But that's the thing, is like the Bachelorette is in such the pole position in that version of the show compared to The Bachelor, where The Bachelor, like, there's a reason why almost every single Bachelor never stays with the person they get engaged to at the end of the show, but I mean, not every single Bachelorette, but it's a way higher success rate for the woman who picks the dude, because she gets to just comb through and be like, no, this is bad, this isn't gonna work. But guys if they're gonna be like,
how can I keep both of these relationships alive until the very last second,
dude? Exactly.
That's what I've noticed. Also, it's like, why does anybody think that like a real relationship is going to come out of this show? You know, it's like what healthy relationship started from? It's like, well, I was one of 25 options.
Yes.
And after weeks of him dating other women, sleeping with other women while dating me, he chose to settle down with me.
Yeah.
On live television.
That's basically what happened in this season. This whole episode of The Bachelor is going to be, oh my God, you got to watch it. It's great. It's great television.
Silly as shit. All right.
We should get back into it because I got to get to the thing. So, all right. So
we'll skip ahead. We'll skip ahead.
Mechagodzilla's here. They're fighting. Some shit's going down.
So they then realize that they're like, oh man, we need to try to get Kong. I guess the reason they're moving Kong is that they're trying to find something. There's this theory. I skipped over this. This is a big thing. There's this theory that Blalock Jones has been pushing throughout mm-hmm. this whole thing, and that it turns out it's real. It's the hollow earth theory. It's the idea that the earth is hollow, and they have to get in there, and they're like, Kong is from the hollow earth, so is Godzilla. That's where they come
from. So all the monsters come from inside the earth. Okay. Yeah.
And so they're like, we need to get inside the earth, but anytime we send people in there, like, there's like a warp thing and with gravity that they hit that just kills everybody instantly. And so they build these specialized ships, and it's like all the Kong people just following Kong through this tunnel, and then there's like, you know, the people that love Kong, and then there's like this corporate lady and a couple guards and another one, which I don't understand why she went. She did not have to go. And so they follow Kong into this thing, and it's this crazy, it's real. It's like there's a top and a bottom. There's a roof and a floor, and they're both mountains and shit. They follow Kong all the way until he finds this giant mountain of like an ape, you know, that it's obviously, it's like, oh, this is where Kong
this
is from.
This is where Kong is from, of course.
So he goes in there and finds an axe that is powered by some shit, the same shit that like Godzilla, you know, can like spew out of his mouth.
Okay.
And he finds an axe, and they're like, holy shit, he's got an axe now. That's cool. But then something happens. It upsets the creatures in the hollow earth.
Okay.
And the corporate lady's terrified of dying. So she's like, we got to get out of here right now. Leave him behind. When she's like, why did you go?
Wait, you where's their corporate lady from?
I have no fucking idea, man. Honest to God. I have no idea. She's just there and she's upset. And she was really hot, but she didn't want to die.
Okay.
So you need to know about her.
Right.
And so she starts freaking out, and they lift up. And then because they lift up, and they like, I think they shot Kong for some reason. I'm not sure. They did something to provoke him. So Kong just yeets the motherfuckers down and just kills her like right away.
Okay.
And then they all escape and they get out and they come up in Japan, believe it or not. Godzilla comes out. Kong and Godzilla have their big showdown, right? And mm-hmm. they're fighting.
In Japan.
Yeah. Kong's got this big axe. They have literally destroyed Tokyo at this point. That country will never recover from this fight.
Okay.
Financially.
No 2021 Olympics.
Absolutely.
Ever gonna happen for sure.
They're done. As a country, like, it's over.
Okay.
Because of how much damage they sustained through this monster battle.
Damn.
And eventually they're getting into this fight and they're going at it, and it looks like Kong's gonna die, right? And Kong's like on his last leg, and then that little deaf girl comes up in the rubble, because she's just there, and is like, you know,
how does she survive?
I don't know, Jay. I have no idea. She comes up and she signs like, you got this shit.
And like the fucking Coke commercial.
Yeah. She's like, here you go.
Coke and a smile.
You got this shit. This is making me think.
You got this shit, dude.
This is a random tangent, but the other day at my job, I was bored. And so I wrapped my hand in towels and put a rubber glove over it to take orders with, because it made my hand look like it had elephantitis.
Okay.
And it just made me think about having that elephantitis hand and then just signing, I am not an animal, over and over again. I don't know. That's a really random joke that I thought about.
Dude, this episode's all over the place.
I know, right? It's great. But, all right, to get back to it.
Okay,
back,
so Kong has been motivated by his deaf protege. Yeah.
And so Kong gets up, and Kong's like, you're damn right, and, you know, beating his chest. Mm-hmm. And he goes after Godzilla, and right as they're about to clash, boom, massive laser. It's Mechagodzilla. And Mechagodzilla is not under the control. Originally, Mechagodzilla was under the control of somebody else.
Okay.
They were like using their brain and they were walking around like that, right?
Okay.
Classic. Like in Pacific Rim. Yeah. But it fucks up, kills the guy that's controlling it. And now Mechagodzilla is free range, in control of itself.
Oh, shit.
So Godzilla and Kong are just like, well, I guess we got to deal with this guy.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be fucked otherwise.
So they start fighting Mechagodzilla, and there's just no beating. It's a fucking giant metal robot. The scale of it, I will say, it's very visually impressive, this movie. That's okay. The one thing that's good about it, is it looks really good. And this monster, the Mechagodzilla, looked really fucking scary. And so they're fighting it, and they're like trying to figure out, they're like, what do we got to do? Oh, we're in the computer room. This is the Taika Waititi kid, Blalex Jones, and
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they're all up there, and they're like, what do we do? And they're like trying to hack it, and it's not working. And Mechagodzilla is destroying the city. And then Millie Bobby Brown, genius that she is, pours a coffee on the console, and Mechagodzilla is no more.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. I'm not fucking joking.
Like, that's how they ended this movie. This is like a movie. This is a matchup that has been built up for like 5 years.
Could see my face right now. Oh my God. This is, now I get why, because this, I'll be straight up with you, John. This movie sounded kind of cool. It looked kind of cool in the trailers.
That's why I went to see it. It looked really dope. And I mean, look, I'm not.
They end it with a fucking coffee spill?
Yep. I it's hard to make me hate a movie.
I'm mad.
I can find the good in movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I found good in this movie too. But the reason I chose to talk about it is it's just like at every moment, it seems like there's always been an easy way out that they don't use until like several thousand people have died.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, why was this not your first thought? Like, why were you all trying to hack into this like unhackable mainframe? But then you could have just fucking poured coffee on it. Like that was the solution.
Always pour coffee on the evil robots.
Oh yeah.
Nobody knows.
Okay, coffee is for closers.
So yeah. So Mechagodzilla ain't a closer. He's not on our team. So all right. So so Mechagodzilla's done. Then what happens to Godzilla and Kong?
Godzilla and Kong, they kind of just like look at each other. And they're just like, yo, that shit was crazy. And then Godzilla just goes in the ocean.
They do like the Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger handshake from Predator and just walk away.
Dapped each other up and then they were just on their own ways. And then, you know, the corporation's exposed and Alex Jones is a hero and Millie Bobby Brown, finally, her FBI dad's been looking for her this whole movie.
What a weak ass FBI dad.
Exactly, right? Even my parents have a tracking app for me. Like, how do you...
Like, dude, you have the most access to the most advanced tracking technology in the fucking world, and you're not tracking your teenage daughter's every move. What kind of a dad are you?
Literally, if all he had done is just like open his phone and check, like find my friends, he'd be like, what the fuck is she doing in Japan? Like, what? I need to get over there right now. Because he's just in Japan and like looking at all this carnage, and then he turns around and she's just there, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're safe.
I can't believe I didn't realize that you were here this whole time. Yeah.
He's like, well. Like, he doesn't even have a line to acknowledge that he didn't know she was in Japan. He's just like, I'm so glad you're okay. It's good to see you. And it's like, you are on the other side of the country, and you saw her in the United States this morning.
You know,
like,
his advice he didn't follow was coach from Friday Night Lights, clear eyes, full hearts. Hey, his eyes were cloudy. He couldn't see his fucking daughter anywhere. His heart was empty. Didn't give a shit about where she was.
No, he didn't. He was too busy dealing with Godzilla attacking humans. And then that's it. That's how the movie ends. Like, that's the whole movie.
What a disappointment.
It really was.
John, I was so excited to watch this movie and gleefully just like see whatever it brought. And now I'm still probably going to watch it. Cause I at least took, I went to the effort of downloading it.
I want you to watch it just so that then you can text me and be like, this is how incorrect you were about your recap. Cause I think I'm accurate on most of it, but there's a solid chunk of about an hour in there that I just forgot.
What we're going to have to do is we'll have to do a follow up.
Yeah. We will.
Whenever I've watched it, but goddamn, dude,
I'll rewatch it too. And so then we can come in like with fresh knowledge.
Fresh.
But this is kind of like the pre-show to like the hating on it. You know, like this is just like the explanation, the build up.
Well, dude, cause I'm ready to hate on it already. Cause of how I hate when a movie has nothing going for it but spectacle.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a way, I've said this before in the show, I like a movie every once in a while that can do style over substance and allow the style to speak for itself and have like some emotion attached to it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's like an art, like a overly artistic choice, as opposed to something like this, where it sounds like they really just relied on having a lot of, we're going to have a couple cool big ass fights. We're going to destroy a city and we're going to allow that to carry your movie and hope that nobody gives a shit that there are a bunch of plot holes and that also the big villain dies because somebody poured coffee on him.
It's just like, it's so frustrating how Hollywood just loves to like, it will green light these big budget, like writing for like the dumbest parts of society.
Mm-hmm.
And these movies get like so much money just to suck. Like they just always fucking suck.
Dude, that's what it is. It's the fact that we're making these movies for the lowest common denominator. Yeah. And we're hiring, I mean, literally, as soon as I'm looking at the script here, there's five people credited for the script for this. That's too many people. That's a big problem. Like Adam Wingard, I'm sure he's a very competent director. You know, I love some of his other movies.
I mean, it's shot very well. And I would say it's just like written so dumb. And it's like, I just wish that with these major motion pictures, and this is something that, I haven't read the book for Dune, but I've seen the trailers. I'm really excited for that movie.
Uh-huh.
But anytime you see like a big budget movie like that coming out, it's always scary that you're like, I hope they don't assume the audience is dumber than we are.
Yeah.
I think that's a big problem in Hollywood is they love to assume that we're dumber than we are. And so then they write these dumb fucking movies and we walk out and we're just like, this sucks.
Yeah. We are not dum-dums. No, we're Hollywood.
Not. We're not. Marvel's figured it out. Marvel's figured out what we know and what we don't.
Right. But Marvel's got its own set of problems, but it sounds like Marvel's problems are in a script side in a very different way where like it's too scripted. Yeah. In some ways, and it's trying to be too clever, and it comes off unrealistic in that way, as opposed to this, where it comes off unrealistic in the way that like people are expecting that nobody's going to figure out the simplest shit.
Yeah, and it's literally these are like the people that are making decisions in this movie are like the highest level people in like the biggest governments in the world, and they're just making the worst calls every time.
God,
which you would think that it's like hopefully they would have smart people overseeing. The transportation of a giant gorilla, but no, they just threw that bitch on the ocean.
Oh my god!
He had to fight like literally Kong almost drowns at one point in the movie because Godzilla just pulls him down like a mile underwater, and then Kong just beats the shit out of him, comes back up, and is just like traumatized because I don't think he'd ever been in the ocean.
Mm-mm.
And then now they just airlift him like they were just like, oh well, this is easier. And it's like, why didn't you just do that the whole time?
Just do that the whole time. That's what this movie sounds like it should have been called.
Why didn't you just do that the whole time? Because it's just really, and then just the cherry on top is the coffee on the console. Just like to just really, it's like they filled our heads with shit for an hour and a half, and then they just dropped a little dollop of daisy extra on our tongues at the end, and it's such a bummer.
And a little dollop will do you.
Oh, yeah. That's all you need.
Oh, God. Well, John, I am going to watch this movie still when I have time. And I will text you. And then we might have to do a little bonus episode of us talking after I've seen it.
I want to watch it again. And we should definitely do a bonus. So that we'll double up. Yeah, whenever we're like real fresh on it, we can just hit it.
But damn, dude, this is such a disappointment. To hear how truly unfortunately written this movie is.
Oh, it's so bad.
And now I almost guarantee that I'm going to hate this movie.
And there's like so many little things. Like that's just the overarching story. Like there's so many little things and little scenes that you'll see and you'll just be like, why the fuck is this happening? Like it's fun. It's a fun movie, but it's like, it's fun in the same way that like the Star Wars prequels are fun, It's like, yeah, they have fights, but then everything else is garbage.
Yeah, sure. You get to see Yoda jumping around doing some flips.
Yeah,
but
he kills some people, but.
Is that good enough?
Nah. Is that it? Yeah. Then he still says whack ass lines.
Is a movie as good as the YouTube compilations that we can pull together from it? Probably not. Well, until we get to that bonus episode. John, where can the listeners find you on social media if they want to argue with you?
On Instagram at John Heft, TikTok the same, and Twitter at Johnny Heft.
Nice. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram, jlightcomedy.com for show dates, both live and live streamed. If you like the podcast, please consider subscribing on Patreon, where you'll find bonus episodes like the one that me and John are going to record whenever I actually watch this fucking movie. and other stuff, like stuff I can't say behind a paywall, because I got some insider Hollywood stories now, baby. And if you don't have any money, then tell a friend. And that's good enough for me. And John, safe travels.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Dude, I'll talk to you when you're back in Austin. But until then, this has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.